Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Overtime coming at you for the next 2 hours right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Davis Rangy, producer Matthew. Tennessee defeats Vanderbilt by a score of 56-0, in which the last two touchdowns seemed accidental. We were not trying to score. We were trying to run out the clock. We just handed the ball off and started running and didn't stop. Also had a punt return for a touchdown. That was the first special teams touchdown of the year.
That was the first punt return since 2019.
Yep.
You knew it was coming eventually.
Yeah. It was funny. Someone tweeted out earlier in the day, Willie Gault is running all the way to the state capitol. D. Williams was running all the way to the state capitol on Saturday. So not much to go over there as far as the score goes. However, one of the things that sticks out is Joe Milton. And I don't think that anyone here and the majority of people listening think he is the guy. And having said that, do you throw everything you've got into Nico being your starter day one? Or do you go to the transfer portal because Cade McNamara from Michigan, who led them to the college football playoff last year, is now in the transfer portal as well?
And that's the guy who beat out Joe Milton in Michigan.
It is.
So you could have that happen again.
Exactly. Now it's a drastically different offense going from Michigan to Tennessee in the way we play. However, there's a lot of other names in this transfer portal now that we can go after. Dominique Lovett from Missouri, 4-star, number 3 player in the state of Illinois when he was recruited.
Number 3 in the SEC in receiving yards at 897, I think.
It's like, do you want to play in this high-tempo offense? You want to come out here? You want to come to Knoxville? I mean, seriously.
Someone has his ear because it doesn't – out of those Missouri receivers, I figured Luther Burton would be in the transfer portal, not Dominique Lovett. So I feel like somebody's already got his ear and – hopefully it's us.
Well, I mean, there's tampering going on, and we all know that. I think everyone in the SEC is tampering. I think that we're tampering. I think everybody that's a Power 5 program that needs players that has weaknesses at certain positions, those are the guys tampering. You know, even Alabama.
And they're doing it to us, too. They're talking to our players also.
I mean, it's happened last year. I mean, we had people, you know, because, you know, Tyler Barron.
Yeah.
Entered the transfer portal last year. Obviously, he came back. He had a pretty decent year this year. But you know, that's the thing. That's something that we got to deal with in college football is the tampering going on in the new landscape of NIL and all that. By the way, Jalen Hyatt signed a new NIL deal over the weekend. I don't know if anybody saw it. He signed a deal with Bose Speakers.
I saw that.
Yep.
Him and Mike Wright.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about quarterbacks. I think Malik Hornsby went in the transfer portal today as well.
Arkansas quarterback.
Yeah, the Georgia Tech quarterback went in. I mean, a lot of people will be moving. It's a lot of moving parts, this transfer portal.
Absolutely, and that's something that we're going to have to look at, you know, over the next couple of weeks, because now that they've changed the rules, I'd have to look it up when exactly you can and cannot transfer now, because they put regulations on it where there's a certain window as to when you have to do it.
Joe Milton is a solid backup. You know what I mean? He's not going to win you the big games like the Alabamas, the Georgias, maybe not even the Floridas.
He's Anthony Richardson.
Exactly. Yeah, I maybe say AR is better than him, but I feel like you got to get someone in the portal this year because behind Nico and Joe, you've got Gaston Moore.
Exactly.
Like, we really don't have anybody coming in besides that. So I think it would really put some much-needed depth in the – well, Taven Jackson, sorry, I forgot about him. He's been out the whole year, but we saw, what, 2 snaps in the Ball State game of him?
Yeah, he broke his collarbone, right?
That was –
Missouri game, he broke his collarbone?
No, that was UT Martin.
UT Martin, yeah.
Both blow out.
Because he had the touchdown against Akron, and you know the only 3 games he saw was Ball State, Akron, and UT Martin. UT Martin, of course, when he broke his collarbone. But, you know, we'll see. Here in a couple weeks, it's like, do you go after Cade McNamara? One of the things that we have to go after, though, we need to get a big running back.
Absolutely.
Go get Trey Sanders.
And go get him. There's a couple options you can go after.
I would throw the absolute bag at Quinshon Judkins. Make him say no. I don't care if he's at Ole Miss. Make him say no.
And, of course, Lane Kiffin signing a contract extension. We've got a lot of coaching changes. It is coaching carousel season in college football. Of course, Hugh Freeze, within the past hour and a half, has accepted the job at Auburn, which would play into a lot of their blowout loss to New Mexico State, in which the money line on that game was minus 3,000.
Oh, my gosh.
And guess who took the Northwestern – New Mexico State money line on Saturday.
You did?
I put a penny on it. Or not a penny, a dime.
Penny?
What were the odds for you?
That was like minus 14 or plus 1,400.
Did you take the Mississippi State money line too?
I did not.
Would you make $1.40 on that?
Yeah.
I think Hugh Freeze and Lane Kiffin were, what, 1-6 since they both got mentioned in the Auburn coaching news?
Yeah.
The record's not good. Not good at all. Let's go to the phones. 865-546-8200. Your number if you want to hop on with us. Fake Bob is first. What do you say, Fake Bob?
Pretty good. Pretty good to have you guys back.
Yeah, I'm trying to get used to it again. I've not done a show in about a week.
A quick shout-out to the basketballs.
Absolutely.
For their win without Triple J, I thought that was really impressive what they did over the holiday break.
Yeah, it was fun to watch, especially the win against Kansas. I mean, that one's what really got me excited this week. And, of course, the other two games, of course, one goes to overtime. And I'm more mad about that one than I am excited because that's a team that we should not have went to overtime with. That's a team that we should have beat by at least, I'd say, I think the spread was, what, 9.5 at one point?
Yeah, but even with Triple J being out, you're going to see Julian Phillips play a starting role, and he's really grown. I mean, he had, what, 25? He made an all-tournament team for the Bahamas tournament we just went to, and even if Triple J doesn't come back for a while, you got a solid option there, and even if he does, he already has experience under his belt, so it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, I was just impressed with how they showed up and stepped up, and I know Viscovi went off after I caught him out on Twitter in the middle of the second game there, but I thought that was funny.
Well, that's what happens. You complain on Twitter, and all of a sudden everything does the opposite of what you say it's doing.
They read the comments in the locker room half.
Oh, they're reading them on the court, man. They pop them up on the Jumbotron.
Yeah, so two quick questions for y'all. The first one, about the bowl games, I mean – we know not being in the playoffs. Yeah, it's going to be cool to see us in like the Orange Bowl or something, but is it really going to be as exciting as we would hope for? Because, I mean, I see players on both sides opting out, and it's just, I don't know. I would love to play Clemson at full strength, but we all know that it's not going to happen on both sides.
No, it's not, and I think we've probably seen the last of Cedric Tillman. We've probably seen the last of Jeremy Banks. We've probably seen the last of a lot of those guys. And unfortunately, another name I'm going to throw into that mix, and he deserves to go early. He's done fantastic work this year, and he's earned it. Jalin Hyatt, might have saw the last of him. I hope not. But
Darnell Wright
might be another one. But back to your point about the bowl game is, you know, is it going to be exciting to see it in the Orange Bowl? It's like, cool, yeah, we're going to the Orange Bowl. However, and Fake Bob, you can attest to this because I think you're a little bit older than me. Of course, these guys in here are younger than I am. Right now, with the way college football is, if you don't make it to the college football playoff, it's a bust. Back when we still had the BCS, yes, the Sugar Bowl meant something. The Orange Bowl meant something. The Rose Bowl meant something. The Fiesta Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, those bowls meant something. And there was a time where the Peach Bowl was a bowl you didn't want to go to, and now that's one of the premier bowls in college football. So, man, it's college football playoff or bust for these kids. And once it expands to 12 teams, you're basically going to be rolling out your B team to all these bowl games if you don't make it.
Yeah, it's going to be sad because, like, I think if we say we play Clemson in the Orange Bowl and whoever wins, I know we'll say we have bragging rights, but, I mean, do you truly have bragging rights if, say, we beat them, but they – half their players are sitting out, especially on their defensive line. That could give us problems.
How many people do you see giving credit to Purdue over a win against us in the Music City Bowl, and we had our best defensive back out of the game, and they had a couple of players sitting out as well? It's like that was just a glorified exhibition game. That's what these bowl games are now. They're glorified exhibition games.
Well, Ohio State last year, you know, they had Jackson Smith and Jigba played because – Olave and who's the other guy?
Garrett Wilson
both sat out, but Utah was starting a running back at cornerback, Smith and Jigba. So, and Ohio State took credit for that. So, I just want to win it, man. I want to beat Clemson's ass.
Yeah, I do too. And on my way, talking about the quarterback position for next year, do you see us hitting the transfer portal to try to get somebody? Because a lot of people were not going to like this idea, but I think Heupel might have Nico coming in with the thought of him redshirting. And then also, if y'all haven't seen, Hugh Freeze is already trying to hire his first assistant. He caught up Brian Harsin and wants that girl's number. I'll listen later.
Appreciate the phone call, Fake Bob. So Phil's going to know what I'm talking about here. It's kind of similar to a situation we had in the year 2000. You had experience back there with A.J. Suggs and Joey Matthews. And then you had a freshman coming in named Casey Clawson. And Casey Clawson wasn't that great in practice, but Casey Clawson was a gamer. Casey Clawson, the Iceman, you know, led us to 10-1 in the regular season in 2001, and then a 10-win season his senior year in 2003, ended up going to the Peach Bowl to play Clemson that year, losing to Clemson. But, you know, we're just going to have to sit and see. We're going to have to figure out what we're going to do at that position. But for right now, let's go back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Phil is next. What do you say, Philly?
My sir, Jake Smith.
Philly!
How you doing?
Pretty good.
Well, it was kind of rough not having to Jack the Snake fixed during the week, you know?
Yeah, Phil, I was at my house. I'm not even going to fake it, Phil. I was eating pizza, playing Call of Duty, and drinking some cold beers.
Well, at least you didn't know what you'd done. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I guess we'll start off with football since that's the subject y'all ended up on after the last caller. You're right about these players not going to play because of pro football.
Mm-hmm.
What if you got them tied to NIL deals? Do they still got to play, or they just what's the deal on that?
You know, it really just depends on the deal. Like if you say you sign a deal with Mercedes-Benz of Knoxville, and one of the stipulations with that contract is, you know, we're going to give you a car, but you have to play in every game, including the bowl game. And if you do not play in that bowl game, you got to give this car back. You know, So I guess it just all depends on the deal.
Well, I guess you need to get a few more cars out there, you know.
I mean, I'm all about dishing out cars. That way we don't have people like John Kelly driving around with a taillight out, getting pulled over and then arrested for it.
Saban does it. He has no problem with it.
He's been doing it for years.
He's got a dealership in Nashville, don't he?
Yes, he does.
Everywhere.
He's spreading the wealth, honey. Guys, the quarterback situation next year is, I agree with y'all. I think y'all go out and give him a grad transfer quarterback, because unless Nico is he's going to be as good as that guy Tad at Alabama, we don't know. And you got Milton, who looks like an average quarterback at best, and then Tavian Jackson. I don't know what kind of quarterback he'll be, but we're going to be in danger of having just one quarterback after spring next year.
That we are. I mean, you know, that's why I was kind of comparing it to the Casey Clawson situation in 2000. You know, of course, I was really young at the time. I didn't really understand fully what was going on yet and how things work, but I can remember it being A.J. Suggs to start the year and then moving to Joey Matthews and then finally Casey Clawson.
Well, if you know that Nico's the man, then he ought to be – you got to go with him. That's why I look at it. And you go out and get a transfer to compete with him, because that's – of course, you got about – bring a transfer in, just about have to guarantee him a start and to come here, because they're going to go somewhere where they know they're going to play.
I kind of wonder if because, you know, we play some cupcakes open the year. Virginia's – they're not very good. But kind of wonder if they'll swap a little bit. Just do Joe one series, Nico the next.
Kind of what Michigan did to start the year.
Yep.
My dual quarterback thing. Huh. Is Heupel that type of a – has he done it in the past?
No, but it worked at Florida with Chris Leak and Tim Tebow.
And it worked in Michigan this year.
Yeah, but they made the right choice to go on the right guy, and Ohio State paid for it Saturday.
Oh, they beat the hell out of them on Saturday, and that's going to be interesting to see where Ohio State falls tomorrow, because there is a slim chance. It's very slim, but it's still there, that Tennessee can somehow backdoor its way into that fourth spot.
They're giving
Burr made a good point in the last hour of the show. about everybody wants to talk about they've got Alabama's got good losses, but what about the good wins Tennessee's got? I don't think anybody's got more quality wins than Tennessee's got.
They don't, and I mean, you look at the things that matter, the strength of schedule. Who has the advantage in that one? Tennessee. Who has the better strength of record? Tennessee. Who won the head-to-head? Tennessee. When you look at the common opponents, each other, and then both teams played Vanderbilt, and both teams played LSU. Right?
Yep.
Tennessee throttled LSU.
Yep.
LSU barely beat Alabama. Alabama won 52-0 against Vanderbilt. Tennessee won 56-0. And then Tennessee beats Alabama 52-49.
And that South Carolina loss, I mean, I know we hate them, but it's looking better and better each week.
Oh, they're in the top 20 now.
Yep.
Well, their quarterback finally played up to his potential. He played two games all year up to his potential, and then the rest of the time he looked like he couldn't play a lick. It's amazing to me.
I mean, it really is, and it's just so weird how they were able to just flip the switch and turn it on at their last two games of the year, which I found out something this weekend about Shane Beamer. Phil, you're going to find this very interesting. So, back when he was a graduate assistant at Tennessee in the early 2000s, 2001 to 2003, I think he was here. He interviewed for a particular high school in this area.
Really?
Campbell County High School. And they wouldn't give it to him. So, thanks to the athletic director at the time, Jim Pierce, South Carolina beat Tennessee last week. He could have altered the entire history of everything by hiring Shane Beamer.
We weren't that's crazy.
Phil, we weren't going to win anyway. We could have hired the guy. Campbell County's never going to do anything in football.
Oh, well, I know. That's what about Anderson County? They're having a hell of a year. That quarterback, Anderson County, he can play D1 football somewhere. He at a small level.
They've got a couple of D1 prospects on that team. I know they got the one guy that's going to Navy. That'll be good for him, you know. But
what about that 6'4" receiver they got? Have you seen him?
I think he's a 3-star or a 2-star. I'm not sure where he's going or who he's got offers from.
Well, it's good to see the basketball team finally get back to playing competitive basketball again.
That it was, but I'm going to withhold judgment, Phil, until March because that's what matters.
Yeah, you're right about that. But you got to do good enough to get to March because but the SEC looks pretty good. But the first five teams.
Now, I'll tell you who's going to be a problem, Phil, is that Miller kid from Alabama. He's going to be a major problem.
Yep. Brandon Miller.
Yeah. Yep. And the point guard from Arkansas, that freshman, I think he's the best player in the SEC.
He'll be a top five draft pick.
Yeah, Arkansas will be a problem.
Yep.
But Kentucky, well, I've seen it. I think there's four teams in the SEC better than Kentucky.
At least.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Alabama, Arkansas, us, and who would you say? Auburn, right?
And Black Pearl, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, y'all going to have a show the rest of the week?
We're going to be here for you, Phil.
So I can still have my fix every day now, right?
Absolutely. You don't have to worry about communist kickball on this show. We only talk capitalist sports.
Well, that's right. Tomorrow's the communist kickball day, right?
I
have no idea.
Is it?
Well, y'all smart. Don't even know. That's cool. They're going to take Iran. That'd be the only time I cheer for U.S. soccer is when they play Iran. You know, see.
they play tomorrow at 1 o'clock, by the way.
You would know that.
Sure.
Oh, my goodness. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More of your phone calls coming up. Run Radio Overtime continues, and back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines we go. Larry in Georgia is next. What do you say, Larry?
Fellas!
Larry!
How we doing?
Well, I'm no longer hungry. I had a Philly cheesesteak burrito and a pulled pork sandwich from Bucky's, so I'm good on food for the next 2 days.
I'm a little jealous, but I'm about to stop at one of our favorite Mexican places down here and pick up food to bring it home, so I'm only slightly jealous because, you know, I'm good with this too. So, hey, and I'm kind of bummed though because I couldn't lead off with my Beauty and the Beast line because, well, no offense y'all, but there's no beauty in that studio right now.
That's a lie. I'm right here.
What's that?
I said that's a lie because I'm right here.
Oh, yeah. You forget I've met you, bro. We're good. Anyway, hey, listen, it was a great weekend. I hope you guys had a fantastic Thanksgiving with family or friends or by yourselves or whatever you were able to do. Everybody was safe, I hope. I know I was up there. We had a great time hanging out with the kid, with the mother-in-law. Went to an Ice Bears game. That was fun. Well, welcome to transfer portal and coaching carousel season. This is going to be fun, y'all, watching these players dip and dive and see where some of them land. Davis, I have a question for you, my man, because you seem to be the one who does. You or Matthew both do impeccable research. When do these players have to decide where they're going to go and actually make their new commitment? Do you know that date? Because I know there's a firm like cutoff date for the transfer portal.
Yeah. let me check real quick. I don't know off the top of my head because they change every – I think they just did new rules for this year.
Yeah, I think you have to pick where you're going to go by, I think, signing day proper.
Yeah, February. Okay, yeah. I'd assume it's probably the same day as that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's not as – I thought it was a lot quicker than that. I thought it was in the month of December at some point. So that's cool because that would give us our bowl game then at least to get through – and be able to figure out what we're doing. I like Joe. Joe has been a decent competitor. He's a stand-up guy. And I really want to root for him. And I really hope maybe it was just because he hasn't had a lot of reps with the ones that the overthrowing this week. I don't know. I'm hopeful that he can rein that in. It was a freaking monsoon that he was playing in, so I'm sure that had partially to do with it as well. But I am certainly not opposed to going and getting somebody in the portal. As much as I love Nico coming in, that kid's going to need to put on 20 or 25 pounds minimum in muscle because he is a stick right now, and he'll get broken in half the first time he runs in the SEC.
Okay, Larry, so I found the actual dates. So you can add players from December the 5th until January 18th, so you got a 45-day window then. Then there's also a 15-day window from May 1st to May 15th. So after spring ball.
Okay, cool. Appreciate that. That's awesome info. Like I said, it's going to be interesting to see where all this shakes out and who we get. I will say this. So my wife is an OU fan. Her family was all grew up in that area and stuff. So she follows them a little bit as well. She's more of a UT fan now, but I'm slowly converting her fully. She actually saw something that they've, one of their sites tweeted out today that they are fully expecting Marvin Mims Jr. and Theo Weiss, their mm-hmm. two best wide receivers, to both go in the portal.
I want both of
those
them.
Those two would.
Yep.
What's that?
I said I want both of them.
Hey, they had they got the Oklahoma Vols. We can take the Tennessee Sooners. That's exactly. That's fine with me.
I'm telling you what, man. Those two are beasts, and if we could land even one of them, what a fantastic addition they would be to that wide receiver core. And then you can still bring along some of these other guys that are coming in a lot slower and not have to depend on them right away. So that's just my two cents. I'm happy with the direction this program is going. Yeah, we all know what happened a couple weeks ago. Put it out of our head. We just keep moving forward. Get whatever bowl game we can get. Hopefully it should be a New Year's Six. Yes, it should be better than what Bama gets. A, because, well, Bama sucks. But besides that, we've gone through all of the criteria that matches what the CFP puts out there that they are supposed to go by, and yet they're still ranking them in front of us. So we'll see where it shakes out tomorrow. But regardless, we're still going to get a good New Year's Six Bowl, which will help us in recruiting as well, I think. So all in all, gentlemen, it's been a good season. It's been a good run. I'm ready. I'm already ready. Let's get started with spring, man. Let's go.
Absolutely. Appreciate the call, Larry. So one of the things that I want to add there was Joe Milton's overthrows. And I'm not comparing this to Joe Milton being a soldier. I'm not doing that. I'm comparing it to a certain task. So when he came to Tennessee, his throwing mechanics, he's been doing that for years, right? Okay, you can't just take somebody and correct that overnight. It takes a while to correct those mechanics, and sometimes you never correct it. So in the Army, when you go to the firing range, okay, you got your M16, your M4, whatever they issue you. You take that, you go to the range, right? Who do you think is going to do better? someone who has never shot before, or someone who has been shooting for years?
Well, years, obviously.
No. It's always the guys that have never fired a gun that always seem to be at the top of the leaderboard. The reason why is because you have guys that have shot before, and they've developed bad habits.
So
like, for example, say my finger right here is the trigger. You put that digit right there. That's how you're supposed to shoot. Some people do that. And when you do that, what are you doing?
You're pulling it.
You're pulling it. That's why it's easier to correct with somebody who's not necessarily, you know, done this before. Granted, the hard thing is, in college football, everybody has their own throwing mechanics. Everybody has a certain way that they've been doing for years.
So how does this apply to Joe Milton? I'm confused.
It's hard to change somebody's mechanics. It's done it for years and years and years.
Well, I don't know, man. He looked the exact same as he did against Pitt last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he overthrew the ball. I mean,
he had a beautiful scramble, and then he just decides to launch it a million miles an hour, scroll White's ankles. Like, you could have just kept going.
He's going to break somebody's ribs. Let's get Martin in here next. Good evening, Martin.
Good evening, Jake. Good evening, Jake.
Martin.
How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Doing good. Did you have a happy Thanksgiving?
I did. I
sure did, too. I ate four times out of it.
Well, that's good. That's the one thing about Thanksgiving is you can get multiple meals out of that. With leftovers and everything, you can plan your meals accordingly over the next few days.
Yes. And, Jake, I want you to know, Vanderbilt signed four of the top 40 players in the state this year.
Uh-huh.
They got commitments from four of the top 40, and we got commitments from five of the top 40.
I mean, that's the thing is you gotta lock everything down, not only with the teams outside of the state, but you got to lock it down with the teams inside of the state as well. You know, of course, yes. In the past few years, Jeremy Pruitt didn't think that you could win with Tennessee guys, and that's why we were losing the battle inside the borders for the longest time, is he just didn't think that you could win with players in Tennessee.
Yes. And what quarterback do you think we'll go after in the portal? Are any names out there?
Cade McNamara from Michigan has entered the portal today. That one's going to be very interesting to watch.
And his brother went to high school in Nashville, right?
Yes,
he did.
Yeah, so he's family here.
Yes. And I think we ought to go after a tight end and two linebackers in the portal.
There's a couple out there already, a couple that were 3 and 4 stars coming out of high school. I'd have to look it up and give you the names, but there's a lot of names that have entered the transfer portal this weekend, and a lot of them catch my eye, especially Sanders from Alabama, that running back, five-star running back. He catches my eye. There's a few linebackers in there. The Dominic Lovett kid, the wide receiver from Missouri, that's a guy that I would go after.
Go pick Cincinnati's having DBs enter the portal, too. Go get them.
I think Alabama had a cornerback.
They did.
Corner. Jake, who do you think Cincinnati would go after to be their head coach?
I think
– now that the coach went to Wisconsin.
Well, I think that, Kerry Coombs, I've actually met him on Norris Lake. He's a great guy. He's going to be their interim head coach. But I think that they go after – I think Deion Sanders is probably going to be on that list. I think Alex Golish is going to be on that list.
Urban Meyer.
Because he graduated from Cincinnati, and if he wants to get back into coaching, I mean, let's call it like it is, that's probably going to be the only place it's going to give him a chance.
You think they would hire Alex Golish?
I think they would, and the point behind it would be trying to bring Heupel's offense to that. But, I mean, you know what's funny is Tennessee could end up playing Cincinnati here in a few weeks in the Cotton Bowl.
And I still think that kid we got out of Birmingham at running back.
Yep.
6'1", 230. I still think he's going to do good for us next year. I got a feeling about him.
Yeah.
We need somebody strong on third and fourth downs, and we need a yard or two to get through that line.
Yeah, because we don't really have that right now, and Khalifa Keith is going to be the guy. He might get it done from day one if he comes in and he shows promise. I mean, he might be your number two, number three back coming into it, and maybe eventually move up to number one.
He could.
That he could.
He could do it. And what about the men's? I'll tell you this and let you go.
Yep.
What about the men's basketball team? How you feel about them?
Well, I think it was an impressive performance. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, we do good in these in-season tournaments.
Yep.
We have had success in the SEC tournament. We finally won it last year, but we were consistently getting there, you know, to the finals, to the semifinals. We've got to translate that
March.
You know, exactly. Yes. You got to translate that to the NCAA tournament. You've got to get to an Elite Eight. You've got to get to a Final Four. And, you know, we just got to batten down the hatches in crunch time and just make it happen.
I will say, though, Martin, you know, Rick Barnes, we did win the SEC tournament. We just won the battle for Atlanta. So maybe he's figuring it out in the tournaments. I don't know if it's going to translate to March, but well, I guess we'll see.
All right, I appreciate you, boys.
Appreciate you, Martin.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio Overtime continues, and back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines we go. Zach is next. What do you say, Zach?
What do you say, Jay?
Living the dream.
How are you boys doing tonight?
Pretty good, man.
Hey, you weren't high when you called in the voluntary reaction, were you?
No.
Okay. All right. Because you said something about getting on the main Ball for Life.
Yes.
Facebook page. let me just warn you, if you can't get comedic relief from it, I do not recommend doing it. I have turned it into a comedic relief for me, and it makes me laugh every day.
It makes you feel better about yourself, right? It makes you feel smarter once you get on there and you start reading some of the stuff.
Well, the two big takeaways from the Vandy game was, which bowel game are we going to be in?
Which bowel game are we going to be in? Sounds like, yeah, you know what that sounds like.
And then when we're getting our ass beat against South Carolina, I go on there because I'm bored and I'm at the game and I'm wanting to get away from what I'm seeing on the field. First page thing I turn to is some lady asking which section she's in for her checker kneel and Vanderbilt.
Oh, goodness. No, my favorite one from South Carolina week, Zach, was, I'm glad we lost. We needed to be humbled. We did not need to lose. That was the dumbest thing I've ever read in my life. Like, how some of these people formulate what they're about to put on there, and they look at that and they think, this is a great post. I'm going to make this post. I'm going to get clout from it because I'm important.
You made that clear on the voluntary reaction. I love that phone call.
Oh, I can't repeat what I said on VR, but that was...
No, you can't. We want you to keep your show.
We want that.
Yeah, but the thing about it is that I don't care what they post, but don't tell me how to feel. Don't tell me how to fan. That's what I hate. Well, turn in your Ball for Life card if you don't feel this way or support the boys. You know, it's like...
You're too negative!
Don't tell me how to fan. That's just what I can't stand. So, anyway.
Well, my big thing, too, Zach, is you can be a fan of a team, and you can be critical of the team. You don't have to pump sunshine, think everything's all sunshine and rainbows. If something's wrong, you're allowed to say something about it. You're allowed to criticize what's going on.
That's why I love the caller, Phil. That's why I think he's one of the best callers in Knoxville. He tells it like it is. You may not always agree with his opinion, but, man, he calls it like he thinks it is, balls and strikes. And sometimes, you know, he may say something to me like, gosh, he's right. We don't have anybody, you know, next year or whatever. So you're exactly right. Get to this quarterback situation. I guess I really respect Joe Milton because – most quarterbacks would have transferred, played for somebody else.
Right.
He could have started probably somewhere else. It takes a lot to do that in the age of money. And I'm not even so sure I would do it, guys. If I had his kind of a talents, I would want to play and try to show that off for NFL. But, you know, I really respect him. I think I want him to win. I want him to be good. The problem is when we're talking amongst our friends, and I say, man, if he just takes some mustard off that ball, man, if he just takes some firepower off of that. And then one of my friends said, you've been saying that for 2 years. And I'm like, yeah, I know. You know, so I think with Taven Jackson getting hurt, and John Reed was talking about this on Talk Sports today, you know, nothing's confirmed, but him kind of being hurt set back a little bit, he's probably going to transfer and try to win a job, just because of the way the injury happened. If that's true and he does end up deciding that he wants to play somewhere else to try to get in the first string since this did set him back, we've got to get another quarterback in the transfer portal.
Absolutely. We've got to. And that's why we mentioned Cade McNamara because the thing with Taven Jackson is he can use a medical redshirt this year and then use another redshirt next year if he really wanted to. And, I mean, granted, you're 20 years old, you know, technically a redshirt freshman, but, you know, he's still got that year. And I appreciate, you know, him wanting to come to Tennessee. I appreciate the work that he's put in since he's been here. It's the same thing with Joe Milton. But, you know, Zach, let's call it like it is. Those guys are not going to play at the level that we needed them to play, especially with the jump this program has made, you know, just in two short years with Josh Heupel.
I mean, you've got Cade McNamara, Davis Brin out of Tulsa, and the Georgia Tech quarterback. Those are the three main ones you have right now. So I'm sure there'll be more, but those are the three best options you got right now.
Yeah, and let me just say this on the way out. If you look at Joe's physical abilities, if he could just dial it back a little bit, improve the accuracy, that man would go down as one of the best quarterbacks in SEC history, I feel. If he was accurate, he took off that ball, he's big, he's athletic, and maybe I just see my eyes. W was saying it. That guy throws the best incomplete pass ever. he really does. So
let me ask you Zach. Do you think that Joe Milton would be more suited as like a power back, like a power running back?
Princeton Famp.
Is he fast enough? I don't know how he runs. I've never seen him run, I guess, because that one year, you know, he kind of ran out of bounds there. And he wasn't a physical runner. Like Cam Newton would run you over. If he took on that mentality of like a Cam Newton, dude would be unstoppable.
I mean, that's the thing is like, I don't know what it would take to get him there either. And I feel like he's kind of set in his ways with the way he does things. And even if you do try to coach, you know, the overthrows and all that out of him, it's a slippery slope, man. Because when you try to change how an athlete does what he does on a daily basis, it might not always go as planned. I mean, we've kind of seen it with Vescovy. You know, kind of got the flair coached out of him. Granted, he's still a decent player. I think he had 20 the other day. But at the same time, it's like he doesn't have that flair that he used to have.
Well, let's just switch it back to basketball real quick since you mentioned that, and I promise I'll hop off here. But how great was it when we were beating Kansas at the end and Bill Self looked so mad when the crowd started chanting, "It's great to be a Tennessee ball"? Did you guys see that?
Oh, he was disgusted.
I love it. Makes me so happy. Y'all have a good day.
Appreciate the phone call, Zach. Stay with us. Final segment of hour number one coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Dixon and Dixon and all his reindeers pulling on the reins. Bells are ringing, children singing all.
Final segment, hour number one of Overtime, presented by my friend Julia Hurley of Realty Executives. Guys, if you are investing, buying, selling, whatever you need to do, call the Vols relocation expert, top 1.5% of the nation, 800 homes sold, across the board, five-star reviews, 865-237-7328. Teller Jake and the crew from Overtime sent you. So we talked a little bit about the transfer portal today, and we mentioned Cincinnati, of course, Hugh Freeze going to Auburn. Does someone take a flyer on Deion?
Colorado did, apparently.
Colorado's talked to him.
How did that?
They've offered him the job, according to him.
Yep.
You know what job is open that I would take over Colorado?
Any job in
Cincinnati.
America?
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati? FAU.
Yeah, your boy Willie Taggart. He's been a terrible coach.
First of all, I just said Willie got done dirty by Florida State.
Well, he was a crappy coach then. He's a crappy coach now.
I mean, some things just don't change, but... You know,
God, we coach.
I mean, that's the thing is like there are a few openings right now, and I don't know. It's really weird. Of course, Matt Rhule is going to Nebraska. Luke Fickle going to Wisconsin.
Wait, so you said you'd rather take FAU over Colorado?
Yeah. Oh God, yeah. I'd rather go live in Miami, get fired in 3 years, than to go to Colorado and get fired in two.
Can't go that far with you, but I see where you're coming from. So I mean, Pac-12 is a wasteland now, pretty much.
Well, Pac-12 is a wasteland, not to mention Colorado screwed themselves by leaving the Big 12.
Also, Stanford is open.
Oh, yeah, David Shaw
resigned.
So you got Stanford, you got Colorado. What else?
You want to go compete against UCLA, USC, Oregon, Oregon State now?
Not really.
Arizona hired
Washington.
Yeah.
Arizona State hired Oregon offensive coordinator. What a brilliant guy that guy is, blowing a 31-10 lead.
So, let me ask you this. Is the Pac-12 the second best conference in college football right now?
No.
Who do you think second?
Big Ten.
You know, I mean,
ACC is third.
I mean, it's top heavy, but every conference is top heavy at this point.
Pac-12 across the board, though.
I mean, Arizona State's like 1-37 in the last 3 years.
True. But same can be said about a couple other teams around, well, not necessarily SEC, but the ACC especially. But when you've got Oregon State, Washington, UCLA, USC.
Utah.
I forgot Utah was there.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, that's a lot of ranked teams inside the top 25.
Utah still has a chance to – well, actually, I don't even know, because the projection is Washington and Ohio State in the Rose Bowl. But if Utah beats USC, then USC would be in the Rose Bowl.
Yes.
But I'm going to let you know now. I'm a big USC and TCU fan this weekend, because I'll be damned if Alabama slides in and we don't.
Now, that's going to be interesting to see tomorrow, because they're going to try to say, you know, well, Tennessee got beat by South Carolina. It's like, okay, guess what? South Carolina's top 20 now.
See what Heather Dinich said last night?
No.
Someone from Vol Twitter tweeted at her and was like, can you give an explanation? She just said, well, Alabama was ranked ahead of Tennessee last week, so that should give you a good indication of where they'll be this week. Like, no, like, actual explanation. Just said, basically, they were ahead of us last week, so they're going to be ahead of us this week.
So they're using video game logic.
Yeah, pretty much. They don't actually put any logic into it. Because I don't see how you can – how is there not going to be a single guy in that room that said, well, Tennessee beat Alabama head-to-head. They have the same amount of losses. Tennessee has better wins. Sure, they might have a loss to a now good South Carolina team, but same wins. We beat them head-to-head.
Name me one good Alabama win.
They don't. Ole Miss or Mississippi State is their best win.
I mean, Ole Miss was falling apart.
Yeah.
Because of the whole Lane Kiffin-Auburn thing. They beat Texas A&M by 4, who's terrible.
Actually, Texas is their best win.
Yeah, 1 point. They beat Texas by 1 point. So, I mean,
is Texas really that great?
No. Just between Texas, Ole Miss, and Mississippi State, they're probably the best of the three. They're all mid.
Yeah. So, I mean, does Alabama have a good win this year?
No, I mean, your best win is 3-8-4 teams.
Yeah.
Well, and let's talk about the obvious from this past weekend, of course. Michigan throttling Ohio State.
Ohio State will still be 5, by the way.
Yeah, they will.
They won by what, 22 points?
Yeah, 22. 45-23.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Tennessee only losing to Georgia by 14.
Blowout.
Blowout.
Okay, then what is that?
Not a blowout.
What is a 22-point loss to Michigan?
It's off game.
Yeah, national media will say it's not a blowout. It was just that Michigan played a better game that day than Ohio State.
I want to kick her. Oh, my God.
They'll say that Njigba Smith was out, and that was a reason that they couldn't get going.
They'll say
even though Njigba Smith's been out the entire year.
Who was out for Michigan? Blake Corum.
Exactly. Their best player.
Exactly.
Their best player.
I mean, you know how this is going to go. They're going to put Ohio State at 4. What they're hoping is TCU will lose.
No, they're not. Ohio State at 5.
Five. What they're hoping is they'll get TCU to lose, and then they'll put Ohio State back in there.
Here's the thing, though. It'll help me sleep at night if USC wins out, TCU wins out, because I know for sure we win.
Well, you got to think there's a real possibility that TCU loses.
They're not.
Who are they playing?
We've been saying that for 5 weeks.
Are they playing Kansas State?
Yes.
They're not losing.
Well,
here's the thing. It's hard to beat a team twice, though, man.
I don't care, man.
TCU plays nobody.
My point is, even with the loss of Georgia and that TCU wins out and USC wins out, I still feel like we would have got screwed either way. So us losing to South Carolina and us still not getting in, like even if we had beat South Carolina, they weren't going to put us in.
Yes, here's my question. Talk about if we beat South Carolina and we get 5, do you think they would have put us above Ohio State?
I don't know.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They would have just moved Ohio State down to 4.
Kirk would have shot himself in the head on live TV if they put us ahead of him.
Yep. It's very true. That's what I'm saying. So beating South Carolina, when you look at it, really doesn't help.
Absolutely. Let's continue this conversation in the next hour. Hour number 1 is in the books. Hour number 2 of Overtime coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.